Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
And Peck on ESPN 106.7.
And online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Monday edition of The Drive. We have... We've had some rain here over the last week, and get used to it. looks like we're going to have a good bit more. Hopefully everybody doing all right after the weekend. It was, it was nice. It was nice for a couple of days. Really, really nice. After that storm we had on Thursday, I was very glad. If we're going to be driving to Atlanta, that it was Friday and not Thursday.
Yeah,
that we were going.
You were not here on Friday. Again, shout out to... Don Dunn, our defensive line
coach.
Heard some
of Don's stories. That was some great stuff.
Oh, it was fun.
I was able to listen about the first hour.
We leaned a little bit just without a ton in the news.
Right.
We leaned on some nostalgia and told some stories, and it was great to hear.
Oh, no kidding.
He's one of the best at that. So yeah, I really enjoyed Friday's show. We missed you, but hopefully the concert was
Really good.
Was okay.
Cheap Trick was good. Heart was great.
Okay, there you go. Now
that's the way an opening act should be.
I was
going to
say
the main act.
Who opens? Who closes? There,
Cheap Trick open.
Okay,
maybe it might have had something to do with where we were.
Okay,
I had gotten seats. Sort of got this one late, but I got seats in the upper level, and I thought, well, the closer I can get in the upper level, the better. And it is pretty steep there up in State Farm Arena, the old Phillips Arena. So I got row A. We'll never do that again. We'll never do that again. Anyone, the closest thing I can give you to what it's like is if you're sitting on the first row in the second level at Auburn Arena. Then it's very similar because we had done that when we moved our basketball tickets over from the Coliseum to the arena and weren't able to sit down low with the faculty staff tickets that we'd had. We said, well, get us as close as we can. And that first row, the seats have on the armrest, there's a cup holder. Because on any other row, there's a cup holder in front of you, so you're pinched in just a little bit width-wise. But the biggest problem is on that front row, and here's the way it was in Atlanta. There is a wall that is within a plexiglass about half wall above it that is as far as my backside to my knee. You could not even sit.
We're not sitting in these chairs.
You could not sit there.
Yeah.
I sat and my knee was up against the wall, and there's no place, and your foot then has to be pulled back a little because there's nothing for your foot
under. I'd say if you're pushing 6'5 or taller with long legs,
you cannot sit in those seats.
Most of Neville Arena's seats are going to be a tough
one
for
you, too.
They're
tough.
And not just for
but
you.
The
person in front of you is going to have a knee right in their back.
Well, that's why at Neville Arena, we have aisle seats, and I can let the left leg sort of hang down to the next step.
Right.
You know? But you can't do that if you're on the front row.
No, you can't.
And so after the first few songs by Cheap Trick, I surrendered and sat in the aisle.
Well done.
The problem is when you're sitting in the aisle, you've got plexiglass that is in front of you. And it was a little messed up. So I mean it wasn't the most comfortable seating, but it's my fault for not knowing and selecting those seats. So we were able to move around. There were a few empty spots, and we found uh, We found some very, very accommodating seating, because it turned out a lot of the ushers or whatever were very much into the music and not paying any attention to who was walking in anywhere. And so we got some really good seats for the Hart show.
Excellent. And Hart, but I hear Hart, yeah.
And Wilson, yeah. And Wilson was great. Nancy is and was too. She's still an excellent guitarist and vocalist in her own right. But I mean, Ann Wilson was just phenomenal. So yeah, it was really, really good show. And I mean, the total show, I mean, between the two acts, Cheap Trick played for about an hour, Hart played for two. So I mean, it was
You had a favorite Cheap Trick song? I would think Want You to Want Me or Surrender
obviously
the hits, right?
Want You to Want Me, the big ones. The one that everybody got into. What about Surrender Hart? Was good.
How did Hart do? Any highlights from the Hart show?
Well, everything was really good. Right. I mean, the Barracuda was like their encore. But I mean,
Alone, right? One of the
Alone was great. Just playing it.
Yeah.
Just acoustic. That was fabulous. They did a couple of Zeppelin covers. I don't know if you've. They did not do their cover of Stairway to Heaven, which is phenomenal, but they did California. They did. I mean, it was cool. It was a very, very good show. So yeah, we had a blast. So yeah, I'm glad you guys could cover, while we were gone Friday. Well, I won't be gone again for another 3 weeks. It'll be the Friday, June 7th is when the Stones are playing Mercedes-Benz. That's our next show.
That's Brian Matthews.
Yeah, Brian Matthews joining us. So how'd the match wind up?
They blew a 3-1 lead and tied 3-3. So I stomped out of the house. I'm here.
Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, a big Liverpool fan.
Yep.
I mean, big time. And yeah, he texted and said, I'll be there as soon as soon as Liverpool's done. So they didn't lose, but I mean, no. Yeah, it stinks to blow a lead. So, all right, so that's who is here. It's Bill, Dan, and Brian with Drew at the controls, the regular Monday crew, and we'd love for you to join in. You can do so by calling us on the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. That number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They're an Alabama-based firm offering high-paying careers for folks, incredible opportunities for folks seeking a great career without attending a four-year college. 334-209-6355 to learn more about Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor our podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, so we'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, let's see. There's some different things we can talk about today. Let's see, softball. What a shock! They're headed to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
What a new place for Auburn Athletics.
I think baseball's been there 9 times. I think they're 2-7, if I'm not mistaken, and then softball's been there 3 times.
We were talking about
for the regionals or super regionals.
Khalil Jacobs, the Niceville product, who is a target for Auburn, South Alabama linebacker. And we were saying, maybe if he wants to stay local, that would give Auburn an advantage because Auburn is as close to any as any Power 5 or major conference program. Auburn is as close to the Niceville, Fort Walton Beach, Panama City area as just about any of them, except Florida State, which is also right there. And it seems like whenever Florida State hosts and a high-quality opponent needs to stay, kind of local, it's very easy for postseason committees to send Auburn to Florida State, and especially in baseball and softball, as is the case this season. And again, this is the end of the road for Mickey Dean. He's announced that he is stepping down at the end of the season. So we'll see if it would be really cool if they could pick up some momentum. Heartbreaking finish to the game against Georgia in the SEC tournament that eliminated them here in Auburn. It'd be really cool if they could pick up some momentum and make a run in Mickey Dean's final games as the coach.
Yeah, Friday at 1 o'clock, I think, is Auburn UCF. So That, I mean, that should be a competitive. I think Florida State is just 15th.
I think this is a pretty good draw for Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they can beat Florida State on the road, but you know, Matty Pitt is capable of beating anybody, right? So you just never know.
And if Auburn is going to make some noise on the diamond in the postseason, this is the team that's going to do it, because we know the season is over after this upcoming weekend. For the Auburn baseball team, they you know, eliminated from the postseason in the series against Missouri. Although Auburn did win a series,
Auburn did win the series.
Yeah, it took until the next to the last series of the season, and boy, the bats is where that was the story this weekend, because pitching still not. Saturday, and starting pitching.
And Herbert Holtz was good Sunday, too.
Yeah, starting pitching wasn't that bad. The bullpen really struggled.
It did. And really, they probably should have swept. They're up late by 5 runs Friday night and just sort of fell apart there and gave it up. But to come back and win the series, they
And then they had a 9-1 lead yesterday.
Yeah, and Missouri almost came back for that one, too. They won 9-7. That's two games in a row that an Auburn starter in the SEC has won, and up until then they had not had a starter win in the SEC.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, that is crazy.
And Missouri's not a good team, right?
But no, still, they're not.
Going on the road and beating them is a good result for Auburn. They've won 3 out of 4. They've got Samford at the Hoover Met Tuesday night, and then Alabama's coming in Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and that's the end for this season.
Yeah, that will do it for the season. So you'd like to, close with as good a finish as you can. We'll talk to Cooper McMurray at the bottom of hour number two.
And if Auburn can, I mean, we'll see what Cooper decides to do. We'll see what Ike Irish decides to do with 1 year left in his college baseball career. I mean, now with every, I mean, that's the world of college athletics now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Players with eligibility at the end of the season decide what they want to do. You know, is it the draft? Is it if they're not draft eligible yet, is it staying at their current school? Is it moving on to somewhere else? We'll see what – I mean, Auburn could have them. You know, if you bring back the most productive elements of this year's roster and you hold on to Cade Ballew, who has – I mean, a hometown guy.
Two more homers over the weekend.
Who's just – I mean, just really, really playing well. And, you know, I don't know how many – I don't know how common it is, maybe you guys – like, how many freshmen in the SEC – are having really big seasons at the plate? Like, is it a league where there's lots of guys? I mean, I remember Ike Irish last season, outstanding freshman year. Cade Ballew's really gotten hot.
He's definitely. I mean, he's got to be one of the better freshmen in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really promising development for an Auburn team that's sort of looking for silver linings in a frustrating year. But yeah, if you bring back some of the top guys, you make the right moves. Maybe, I mean, there's going to be. Want to be gentle about this. Like, there's going to be pressure for next year's team to be better than this year's team. I want to let you guys sort of kick that around more than like there are spots where Auburn needs to improve on the roster, and there's going to be what's the appropriate amount of pressure? Like Auburn needs to, how much better does Auburn need to be to feel like things are going in the right direction as a baseball program?
Well, I mean, if you go back 2 years ago, this team was 2 straight years of hosting NCAA AA regionals, had been to the World Series twice in the last 4 postseasons. Was that right? If I got that right, I think. Going back to
I guess that's ago. Right.
Was it 19 and 22?
I think that's right. So you could see that this program was, it was getting better, and then it just took this humongous step back. So I don't know how much better it has to be, but it can't be this, like it was.
No, Auburn's got to be much. They've got to be around 500 or so at least in the SEC.
Certainly need to be in the tournament.
Which gets you into the NCAA tournament. Yeah. I think that's it in this league. And the thing is, Texas and Oklahoma are coming into the league next year.
Yep. Going to be that much tougher.
Reminded of that today when we got the basketball schedules, as we learned.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily the basketball schedules.
I thought about it when softball was announced and the top 2 national seeds are Oklahoma and Texas.
How about did you see the other incredible?
And you got every SEC team.
13 SEC teams in the softball postseason. The 14th team, Vanderbilt,
doesn't field a team.
Doesn't field a softball team.
And then incredible. Texas and Oklahoma
are Oklahoma is the top program in college softball. Texas is maybe the top team at the moment in college softball.
It's crazy.
And they're joining the league next year. Yeah, it's going to have an astronomical impact on the difficulty for everyone. I mean, whoever Auburn hires is jumping into a real pressure cooker in the SEC. Hopefully they'll get time to build the program that they want to build. But it's going to take you're going to be – you're right into some serious temperatures like from the moment you get here.
Yeah, no question about that. So we'll talk about the basketball schedule was released, and it is very similar to what we've been seeing with a 14 team league, an 18 game conference schedule. With 14 teams, you play 5 teams twice, you play the other 8 teams once. That gets you to 18. With 16 teams, you play 3 teams twice and the other 12 teams once, which gets you to 18.
15 games, one game against everyone else in the league, and then
three games against other teams.
Against 3 designated permanent opponents.
And the way if it stays like this, and I have no reason to think that it won't, it would be 2 permanent opponents. And those for Auburn are Alabama and Georgia. By the way, Alabama's 2 are Auburn. Yeah, Alabama and Georgia. For Alabama, it's Auburn and Mississippi State.
Are you sure they won't keep the 3 permanent opponents?
I don't think so.
Because I believe Ole Miss is our 3rd. Right.
Ole Miss is the 3rd.
And we've played Ole Miss every year twice for a while.
Have. But I believe the SEC
could go to 2 permanant.
Used to be 3 and 2. You'd have 3 permanent and 2 that rotated. I believe it's going to go 2 permanent, 1 rotated.
I wonder if they stick
with 3, it could end up being a little unfair depending on things. If you rotate them, it at least tries to even things out.
I think it would be more urgent to rotate if you weren't playing everyone else. Like since you already have everyone in the league on your schedule at least once, if they feel like there are rivalries that need to be preserved with the 3. I don't know. I mean, again, I guess I would look at who are Kentucky's 3 permanent, and are any of those teams really passionate about keeping, like, are all 3 of those teams, really desperate?
There are other teams that would like to get Kentucky twice.
Oh, sure.
And not see what you have done is you've eliminated Auburn or Alabama from ever being able to play Kentucky twice unless you play them in the conference tournament.
Sure, Bama Tennessee would only be
right.
once a
that's
year.
Only once.
I believe Bama. Yeah,
Bama's Auburn Tennessee 3. Gets
exactly.
You know, that's why I think. I mean, and
you think it'd be a better system?
I've heard that that's what it's going to be. That it's going to be 2 permanent and 1 rotating. It could actually be 1 permanent and 2 rotating.
They could do that if they wanted to.
Yeah. I really don't think it's going to be 3 permanent.
The
other 12.
The only reason
that sets it where you never have the opportunity to play some teams home and away.
I think rotating is probably the better system, having 2 permanent and 1 rotator. Again, I guess I would need
Why
to
not
know.
Just 1? I don't think it's as critical as in football.
Yeah.
I think in football there's that second opponent that you just got to have. Does Auburn have to play Georgia twice in basketball every year? Does Alabama have to play Mississippi State twice in basketball? No.
Yeah.
But I think Auburn and Georgia need to play in football. Alabama and Tennessee need to play in football.
I'm thinking Kentucky's 3 are Tennessee, Florida, and South Carolina, maybe.
Yeah, Kentucky needs to be able to be changed.
Vandy,
I don't
know the answer to this question.
I haven't looked at the
Kentucky,
entire
Kentucky Arkansas
schedule.
Probably needs to be a.
There need to be opportunities for those others. I'm for the 1 permanent and 2 rotating. I think that would be the best.
The only reason I thought they might stick with the 3 permanent that they've been using the last couple of years is because Auburn's 3 teams, the 3 teams that Auburn will play twice in the schedule that was just revealed are the same 3 teams that Auburn has played twice since the SEC went to the 3 permanent.
Yeah, I think it just worked out that way. I mean, they had to change some things to be able to add Texas and Oklahoma. They had to get them 3 opponents.
Yeah, or maybe it's the, I'm sure they had to tinker with some of the other permanent opponents.
All right, we will get to our first break of the afternoon. We'll take a look at Auburn's schedule. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, we're wide open here on the Monday Drive.
Come experience live with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And, yeah, we were just talking a little basketball. I mean, it really felt a couple of weeks ago, Brian, that Auburn was about to get their roster wrapped up.
Yeah.
Things would all be set. But then it started, I guess, R.J. Godfrey to Georgia. And then Jordan was – well, who was before Jordan Ivy Curry?
We had
Duke
Miles to Oklahoma, R.J. Godfrey to Georgia, then Jordan Ivy Curry to Central Florida.
Yeah.
And that's now got Auburn in a situation where they are still looking
right
for a couple of players. And we've heard a couple of more names. I mean, Achor from Samford.
Which I'm not sure is going to.
No, it doesn't look like it. Yeah. I guess he was on campus unofficially. And I don't doubt that both sides would like there to be a way to work things out.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't look like it. I mean, it appears that we could have something similar to the situation that Auburn basketball had with Desi Sills a few years ago. Auburn football ran into with Grayson McCall.
I had a coach, and I do not know anything about Achor's academics. I don't know what he's majoring in.
No,
I know that he was at Chipola for 2 years, and then he was at Samford at 2 years. And my understanding is that he is not a graduate transfer.
No, so but I was going to say I don't think any of us have heard that. Grades.
Oh no!
Are a problem.
I'm trying to be very careful here. So what I'm saying is, my understanding is, so what I will say is, and this may or may not be related to Achor, but I had a coach telling me earlier this year that they've heard stories about interdisciplinary studies majors because that's become a very popular mm-hmm. major. I think is it fair to say, especially within athletics. Like it's because I feel like we're hearing more.
I guess I don't know what most students are taking, but yeah. It would make sense.
And I've heard not just at Auburn.
Like no. This,
the rise of interdisciplinary studies as a major to promote sort of academic flexibility. And I don't want to oversimplify things, but I think even at Auburn, it's three. You have to if you want your interdisciplinary studies major. It's three minors basically within the College of Liberal Arts or some accepted ones without. It's a major that can and especially if you're going to have a busy schedule with athletics, like it's a major that can help help you stay eligible and help you learn classes that interest you. It can make it tough to transfer and be academically eligible elsewhere is what I was told. Is that that's a, because it's a if you have a more traditional major, your credits might transfer more smoothly. If you're an undergraduate trying to move from school to school,
mm-hmm.
interdisciplinary studies majors, especially older ones, may run into issues attempting to get the school. And there have been stories of. And because, like you said, people think grades when they hear about
right.
academic issues. But I think especially with the rise of interdisciplinary studies as a major, you might be running into situations where those credits may not transfer in a way where the student athlete remains eligible if they want to switch to a different school before. Now if you've obtained the degree in interdisciplinary studies and you're trying to be a graduate student. That's a different proposition because that then it's about getting accepted into the graduate school
right.
things like that. But in pursuit of that degree,
and you have to be, after 4 years, you have to be 80% toward a degree, and if that If those courses and credits don't transfer over to get you to 80%, then you'll have to find other. You'd have to either, if you want to be at that institution, you'd have to get enough credits to still be at that 80% mark when you started the fall.
Yeah, if the crux of the interdisciplinary degree is like three minors, you know, you're getting three minors in three unrelated fields. You can see why you scheduled classes, Bill. Like you could see why a major that consists of three sort of unrelated minors in different fields might be a tough proposition to prove I'm 80% towards a degree if you try to take that to a different school. So that's some there's stories. And again, I don't know if this had anything to do with a chore situation. Like this is just something that I had a coach
right.
warn me about earlier in the year that in the portal interdisciplinary studies majors might find out they don't necessarily have their pick of any school because they could run into a turbulence there.
Regardless, Brian, it does sound like that there's an obstacle or two. There's some obstacles in him coming to Auburn, I think that would have been done.
Yeah, it's not really moving forward right now, as far as I know. So maybe that changes, but right now.
Where does Auburn look next?
Well, I mean,
in the front court.
I don't know about the front court. And I never felt like they had to have a four. I know it's important, but
yeah, it'd be really nice to get one. But
now the back court, there is Dior Johnson they can look at. He has some disciplinary issues in his past. He's been at a bunch of different schools. I'm not sure that would be a good move, but he is a very good basketball player.
Oh, there's no doubt about his basketball ability.
Right.
So. It's just will he be welcomed into the SEC and to Auburn University?
Yeah, I cannot answer that question. I don't even know if Auburn is going to pursue him for sure.
Auburn's the only school that I've really seen with much contact with him. Auburn had a Zoom meeting with him a week ago. I mentioned this today with Doug Amos on his show. I mean, if Auburn brings him in, then you'll know that they're continuing down that road, but have not heard anything there. I think the guard situation is
I think it's
more of a necessity than the forward.
I think they've been missing that extra guard for years. I think it's cost them in the postseason. I think if you're going to take an extra player, you need to put as much NIL money, as much effort into finding that combo guard who can shoot threes, who can back up J.P. Bagies at the point guard, and you can depend on, you know, in clutch type situations when you need somebody to make plays. They had a couple guys I felt like fit that, but they were not able to land those guys, so we'll see where they go next. The other thing I will say is last year they got some pretty good pickup slate.
Oh, yeah.
So this is nowhere near being done. And there could be some really good players end up adding.
Just because we don't know, who – and the thing is, just because we don't know who Auburn's pursuing doesn't mean that they're not pursuing someone.
Right.
It doesn't mean they're not about to get someone.
Right.
Or, as you said, I guess it was Chad Baker-Mazzara. When did he join Auburn last year? In June?
Yeah, I believe Auburn – I mean, we talked about this last week that if you remember when Auburn landed Desi Sills, another – player who it was rumored academics and credits transferring played a role in Auburn. If you remember, Desi Sills committed to Auburn from Arkansas a couple of years ago and then ended up backing off that commitment and going to Arkansas State. Auburn lost Trey Alexander,
right,
who was committed to Auburn and then backed off when Desi Sills committed to Auburn. And then in the aftermath of not having Alexander or Desi Sills, Auburn landed Katie Johnson, who had transferred, who had gone to the portal. And the Katie Johnson commitment, I want to say, was a late May, early June sort of thing 2 years ago. And then last year Auburn landed Chad Baker-Mazzara.
It was May 19th.
When Auburn got Chad?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So second half of May, I think, is when Auburn picked up.
So that's a week from
now.
That's
a week, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is, I guess it is getting there. But.
Well, you'd like them to be in school for part of the summer for the workouts.
Right. And practices start, basically. Yeah, so yes, it would be good.
And I don't want to minimize the
classes start this week.
I think the Dior Johnson.
Thursday, right? Yeah.
I think in the case of Dior Johnson, I don't want to minimize. Like he was it was a domestic abuse.
Oh, it's legal
incident.
Issues. Yes.
Yes. I mean he did plead guilty to two misdemeanors. I believe it was he'd originally faced
assault.
Assault, felony assault charges. And I guess in
I think strangulation was
yes,
there.
And I believe in pleading guilty to the misdemeanors, he pled guilty to two misdemeanor charges to get the rest of them dropped, and did not appear in a game with Pitt, left the team shortly before fall term began last year after spending a year in the program.
Actually, he was brought back by the coaching staff. And then I believe the Pitt administration changed, and he was dropped by the university.
Went to junior college and was the leading scorer in junior college this past year in junior college basketball. We were saying it's a different – Bruce Pearl has never really – as far as I know, you know, Auburn has never pursued somebody with a violent crime in their background that would cloud sort of their ability to their availability and it's a different proposition for Bruce Pearl, and I can understand why everyone would be very, very careful about doing the due diligence on whether or not it's worth the risk or whether or not to because there are administrations that I think would hear a domestic violence incident that led to the person pleading guilty to even misdemeanors, but still, pleading guilty to crimes regarding a domestic violence incident. Like that's something that I think it's complicated to say the least, as far Absolutely. As whether or not that should be someone to pursue.
All right, we will get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in again, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Monday Drive.
And Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. So, it is sort of a slower time right now. There's not a whole lot. I mean, you've got some postseason going on. Softball is in the postseason. Golf and the
second in round one.
Second on day one of three.
Got to finish in the top five to make it to the Nationals. Yep. So you got lots of chances.
There are quite a few schools within just a few strokes.
Right.
Down in Baton Rouge, where Auburn is the number one seed there. LSU is one of those schools that's in the pack right behind Auburn, five shots back of Virginia after day one, and then the Auburn women they advanced last week at the AU club, so they will continue. And then you've got baseball, as we mentioned, season wrapping up this week, something that I don't think anybody expected back in the preseason, especially after the start Auburn got off to. Auburn was golly, what were they, 18-4, something like that?
Yeah, they had played well in preseason. They were really hitting the ball well. The pitching was solid, not great, but you felt like they'd be a lot more competitive. And really, that first series, they lost a couple of one-run games. Was it Arkansas, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, that ended up being a problem. I think Auburn finished 3-9 in one-run games and lost about a dozen games by three runs or less this year.
They did. So, it's just been – there's been a lot of things. You can't point to one thing, but overall pitching has really been a problem for Auburn baseball, and I would say that side of the – that part of the roster probably needs to be overhauled in the offseason.
Yeah, Auburn had an ERA of nearly 8.
Yeah.
In conference
it's
play.
13th overall, and just in SEC games it was 14th.
Who was it this weekend? An Auburn pitcher picked up a win?
Yes. Well, they did back-to-back, but they had not won a starter had not won a SEC game all season, and they won two.
That's amazing, Bill.
It is.
I mean, and again, I do wonder if, I mean, I would think
you'd only won four conference games all year, though. So, I mean,
it's six now, right?
Yeah, no, it's 2 out of 6. But, none out 0 for 4.
And Butch Thompson has been successful enough in his career that I think pushing him out after a season like this would be a mistake.
Nobody's thinking about that, as far as I know.
But it is going to get to where you just said earlier in the show, Bill, Auburn baseball probably should be next year to convince people that it's, you know, things are going well and you know the program is like to get to 13 or 14 SEC wins next year from this is going to take it's I mean teams can do it.
The thing is you, like we just said though, I mean they're 3-9 in 1-1 games. They've lost 12 or 13 games by 3 runs or less. You hold teams to 5. I mean, that's not unbelievable. To expect you to have an ERA around 5. Auburn's ERA is closer to 8 in SEC play.
You cut
2 or 3 runs off of that, and you're going to win a lot more games.
I'm curious
continue to swing the bat.
Curious to see how much of next year's team is on the roster right now.
That is a very good question.
And how much of it's not, especially in the pitching staff. Like how much of that is guys that are here and can make the case that maybe they're in the mix to be part of that solution, and how much of it needs to be from outside the program.
They signed a top 5 class in November. It includes 12 pitchers. I'm quite sure they're going to go out in the spring and sign some more pitchers and pursue pitching.
Well, you've got to in the portal. Yep. You better find at least one weekend starter.
I would say a large number of those. This is going to be a big rollover. I feel like, I think Cam Tilley will certainly be back as long as he wants to be. He's a freshman. You can see he has oodles of talent, has had some great moments so far. But I'm sure there are some other guys that'll be back, but I can't say for sure which ones they would be.
Tell us about Uncle Keith's red sauce.
It's delicious Alabama bread right here in the state. You can find it at Publix, Piggly Wiggly's, Renfro's. Give it a try. It's a terrific salsa. It can be used in a lot of different ways too, and also sponsors this radio show.
Southern
Monday Musings.
Southern style salsa. They have a normal and a hot, an original and a hot. Yep, I believe
got the regular and the hot. The color of the lid will tell you.
The
black lid is just the regular, which it's got a little kick.
The regular's got a lot of kick.
Red, Have not tried. I'm fine with the original.
But it's delicious. Tastes very fresh. And I think once you give it a try, that's going to be your go-to salsa or red sauce from here on out.
Yeah. It definitely is for us. All right. 334-321-1390. We'll go ahead and get to our final break of hour number one. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind sports-wise here on the Monday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Final segment of hour number one. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com. And now it's just sort of we're getting close to the time, at least, where news usually isn't good news. I mean, Auburn's still looking. We talked about the basketball transfer portal. They're still looking to add a couple of spots in the football portal.
Yep, they would love a outside linebacker. Khalil Jacobs visited 2 weeks ago. I believe he was at Alabama this last weekend, so I guess both schools are waiting on a decision from him.
Maybe another visit. Ole Miss apparently has been trying to get in on him. I think Missouri. So a couple of other schools. But you would think that he'd probably go to – it would come down to an Auburn-Alabama battle.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've heard is, Alabama's got a lot of linebackers coming back from a year ago. And they're also getting close to their 85.
Right. And Auburn, I think
Auburn's got – 6 or 7 spots.
Yeah, and they'd also like to add a cornerback if the right one's available too. So those are two areas to keep an eye out on for the football team over the next couple of weeks. And then, of course, I guess the last weekend in May, I think it starts, official visits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're talking about one of the busiest times of the year now for football, coaching and recruiting, bringing in those May and June officials. A lot of kids will be lining up two or three officials and making decisions.
Oh, yeah.
I think Auburn's got 10 commitments now. I'd be surprised if
that was my question. Yeah, where are they on the 25?
I'll look real quick, but I think it's around 10, and I think they'll be right around 20 by the time we get to the start of fall practice, I would think.
And it's crazy now. I should know this.
Yeah, 10.
But the NCAA is, I mean, really the only concern you have now is 85, right?
At the moment, yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
so I mean,
I think we have them around 79-ish, right?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I've got Auburn at. But I'm saying, you know, it used to be all right. You're really watching the 25. You're watching. Yep. You're watching those things. Main thing you're watching now is your 85. How many seniors you've got? How many guys could you lose in the portal?
Right. Right. And yeah, I think Auburn, unless somebody wants to leave as a grad transfer, which they can still do. I think Auburn's probably okay as far as losing guys. You know, there could be a surprise. You never know. But there's still an opportunity to bring in a couple more guys if they can find the right ones.
I said this before, but, I mean, I really think that the fact that more players didn't leave is really a sign of how this team is bought in to Hugh Freeze and his plan.
I think Hugh Freeze in the long term wants to continue to recruit really well in high school, continue to try to retain the players he wants to retain, and then get to a point where he doesn't have to go out and sign. Was it 14 now? Is it that they brought in so far in football? Yeah, 14 incoming. I think he'd love to get down under 10.
Oh yeah,
every year, right?
You'd love to just be supplementing, spot here, a spot there.
I think it's going to be a couple more years before he can get to that. Just the way the turnover is now, and how bad this roster was that he inherited. I mean, he's 20 have left this year. I think it was close to 20 last year. Was it 19 or 20? Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken,
yeah, it was. I think it was 19.
Then you add in the you know, guys who have graduated or you know, went on the NFL, whatever. I mean, that's a big turnover in just a couple of years there.
But, I mean, it's a situation where if it weren't for the transfer portal, it would take even longer to try to build back.
Oh, it would be so tough to get through the first couple of years of his you know, time here if there was not a transfer portal.
Although a lot of players left in that same transfer portal. So maybe the roster would have been.
But you can only count.
But some of the ones that were on the roster a couple of years ago, I mean, I don't.
Of the 40.
I think Auburn is upgraded.
Right. No. 40 or so that left, I would say just a handful, 3, 4, or 5 are guys that could have stayed and been really good contributors.
The transfer portal was unquestionably like a huge asset to Hugh Freeze at the beginning of his tenure because the roster was so depleted that he needed to go find. I mean, the thought of a guy, and I wonder if because Hugh Freeze did it, people will start to think it's normal, but you should not have to go find 3 veteran starters on your offensive line. 4 when you think about how much Too Tall was playing by the end of the season. Like to go get 4 new starters on the offensive line in an off season and say, oh yeah, you know, like they're gonna go bring in four new starters on the offensive line from around college football.
Or have to replace 7 of 9 wide receivers this offseason. You know, that's not something you should have to do. But, you know, Auburn's in a position where they have issues like that they have to solve on the team, but they're building toward not having to have that drastic of a measures every year, but not yet.
Well, the 7 new guys,
they've done a great job.
I think have definitely upgraded.
I think people are going to be so surprised how much better Auburn's passing offense looks with better receivers. And you would think, and I want to see it first, but I'm expecting better play on the offensive line. Better running game, better pass pro, a better, more coherent system with guys all on the same page. So, you know, I want to see it to believe it, right?
Sure.
But I feel that's coming.
I'm with you. I mean, we will see. And Auburn gets, Auburn gets to open the season with 5 straight home games.
Yep. That's when you're trying to build something, trying to correct something, trying to get back to competing at a higher level, that's a good way to start the season. And it builds toward that big game. Is it Oklahoma there, game 5 at home?
Yes.
That'll be a big game. And, of course, they spend the whole month of October on the road with a week off in there. And then, of course, some big games in November. But, yes, that's a great opportunity to start well in August and September.
All right, don't forget, coming up in hour number 2, we'll talk a little baseball. It is Tiger Takes with Cooper McMurray coming up at the bottom of hour number 2. The Tigers coming off back-to-back wins and winning the series at Missouri before they play. Weather permitting, they'll play tomorrow at Hoover.
We'll see.
If it's anything like the weather forecast for here, they may not be able to play that one tomorrow.
And they got a dome, right?
This coming up weekend, there's could be some more rain for Auburn, Alabama.
You're right. So, there's a lot of rain coming in toward the end of the week. That's not unbelievable for the SEC baseball.
Yeah. And that'll tournament. Be Thursday, Friday, Saturday here at Pleasant Park.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will get to our top of the hour break. Another hour to come. Love for you to join in here on the Monday Drive.
Is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Monday Drive. Hope everybody doing well, staying dry. Looks like we're sort of in between rain events here at the moment, which
we've
is fine.
We've had a lot lately.
We have. I know we had over 4 inches like on Thursday. And then not as much last night, but a steady rain pretty much throughout the night and through most of the day today. And it's going to come back in, I think, later on this evening and go through most of the day tomorrow into tomorrow night before it clears up a little bit. A little later on this week, as we were talking a while ago, as it pertains to athletics here. I mean, you've got baseball, you've got golf going on down all over the country. I believe at least one of the regionals today played 36 holes because of the concerns for rain tomorrow. Auburn is the top seed down in Baton Rouge. They played 18. I don't know what the weather is down there. Maybe our correspondent down in Baton Rouge, Tex, will let us know what the weather looks like down there. But usually it's wet down there before it is here. So wouldn't be surprised if there's a little rain down there. And then we've got baseball we were talking about a while ago. Auburn playing Samford at Hoover. That game's scheduled for tomorrow night before the Tigers host Alabama Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The entire conference playing Thursday, Friday, Saturday before the SEC tournament next week, in which, unfortunately, Auburn will not be a part. Because their loss Friday eliminated them from the SEC tournament. They're now four games back. Everything else had fallen. If they had hung on Friday, they still would have a chance because LSU continued to lose. Auburn is four games back of LSU, but three games to play. So they're eliminated there. But the Tigers did win a series in Missouri. We'll talk with Cooper McMurray with Tiger Takes at the bottom of the hour about the last four games of the season for the Tigers. Want to, in a little while, we're going to get to the phone lines here momentarily, but want to talk a little bit about a lot of the things that have been being written and discussed over the last week about the future of college athletics, the compromises that are being talked about, and not just talked about, they're being worked on, trying to reach settlements with lawsuits that are going on, how this is going to affect roster sizes and sports. Let's face it. I mean, this is going to affect some teams that have been fielded at schools over the years.
But I think there's a chance that some of the things that are increasingly unpopular about and I would say that it even – like let's look at the thought of players being able to transfer after every season, right? Like we were just talking about the difficulties that could come from
if you didn't have the transfer portal. I still think the transfer portal could there could be some slowing down of the transfers and still plenty of ability to reshape rosters.
As employees or some type of employee where they sign a contract, you can put a buyout in that contract. You can make it a 2 or 3
year. Make it a multi-year deal.
Right. So that would certainly cut down on player movement in the portal.
Do you think freshmen, Brian, in general, Do you think freshmen should be able to transfer to a different school after their first year and retain their eligibility?
Of course. Yeah, I think it should be right now. It should be, you know, the one thing that a group of five school can do right now to get a good player is they can say, come here and you will play right away and look at where our players went last year.
Yeah, sort of like teams talking about moving on to the NFL.
Right. So, and having that player be eligible to move after a year or two, I think would be a plus. But if you do it by individual contracts, individual teams, conferences, then you can still have that flexibility, but then you can still retain your players.
Yeah, I could be convinced that the best thing for everyone is if you sign with a place out of high school, you're sort of promising them, and they're promising you, 2 years. You know, right off the bat.
What if the coach leaves?
You want to put in exemptions? I can sort of understand. You know, head coach exemption. You know, something like that after the first year. But generally speaking, like that would be because you know we were talking with Don on Friday about this, and Bill, I don't want to put words in your mouth here, but I feel like you're probably on the camp of, you know, maybe freshmen shouldn't be leaving and retaining their eligibility to play immediately in most cases, because it encourages folks to look for the way out at the slightest hint of trouble.
Yeah, I'm more in that camp. Now I agree. If there's a coach, if there's a head coaching change, then I think it ought to be sort of the way it's been with players that sign, and then there's a coaching change that gives them an opt out.
And that's something I could see with employment, you know, with employment and contracts and things. Sort of, you know, saying, hey, you know, you're signing with us, you know, you're giving us 2 years, and if you don't want to play for us, there's always junior college. And, there's always, you know.
Yeah, and we got to remember the players have that now. They're not going to give it back without something.
Yes.
So there's going to have to be a negotiation here. If that's something important to schools and coaches, they're going to have to sit down and figure out what are they willing to give up to bring more or less, have less player movement among teams, less transfers.
I think it comes back to what Brian said. I think the next step, the next step would be players being employed. Then you can offer multi-year, and that way, hey, if you feel good enough about a player that you signed out of high school to offer them a 2-year deal, you know, maybe they'll take a 2-year deal at one school where they wouldn't take it in another school.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, if you have the opportunity to offer a player a 2-year deal as a high school senior, then that would make it more difficult. They could either, if they want to transfer after their first year, okay, fine, they can, but they can't play that next year. They could still use that as a redshirt year. I would still like to get back to the, let's go ahead and forget about the redshirt thing and just go, all right, let's get the COVID stuff behind us. Let's just go 5 for 5.
Everybody gets to play 5 years.
You've got 5 years.
And I'll also add that this is coming faster than people realize. There are some deadlines to settle these cases.
Oh, yeah. Before next year.
House versus NCAA is like if you follow a college football team or a college basketball team, even casually, you should probably know about House versus NCAA because that's the lawsuit where the former student athletes are suing because they claim that the NIL rules of the past limited their ability to earn money, and the current student athletes are suing claiming that the current rules in place limit their ability to earn money in the moment. And both lawsuits, I think the NCAA is, I mean, look, folks don't know if the NCAA is going to win either of them if it goes to trial.
Well, they're trying desperately to settle.
Folks don't think the NCAA is going
to
win.
Because the difference of what they have to pay if they settle compared to what if they lose at trial is astronomical.
But the settlement for the current athletes probably involves, among other things, we were talking about how it would probably do away with scholarship limits, but you would instead see a limit on roster size. And with everyone on the roster being entitled to some because that would also fold into you're probably seeing the employment status fall with the NCAA. I think that the NCAA versus House settlement could include language that turns student athletes into employees, and then you know it's game on from there.
Or at the very least, some sort of revenue sharing model.
Which again, I mean, once you start, if you're sharing revenue and paying for a scholarship, like it's just. Yeah. It's just language at that point that they're not employees, and you know.
They'd have to get help from Congress not to be employees, in my opinion. But we'll see. I'm not an expert on all this stuff, but yes.
All right, we'd love for you to join in anything that you want to talk about sports-wise or otherwise here on this Monday afternoon. And you can do so by calling the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
We're underway here in hour number two of the Drive, and as usual, the second hour of the show brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Let's get to the Drive hotline, and Jerry gets us started this hour. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to mention, I saw Hart back in the 70s, and they were great then. I mean,
I was very pleased that they were as good Friday night as I remembered them sounding back in the day.
Yeah, their voices are great. And also, I've seen the Rolling Stones twice.
So have I.
First time was in Jacksonville, Florida, the Gator Bowl, back in '74.
Yeah, they played an awful lot of stadiums back in the day.
Jerry, what's your favorite? What's your favorite Stones song, Jerry?
Probably. It's hard to say. There's so many.
That's a good one.
Well, I mean, I was thinking about this. All right, so my wife hasn't seen them. So we were talking about this the other day on the way up. It's like they could play completely different sets, I would imagine, for like three straight shows.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you've been making hits for seven decades, that's pretty tough.
And my daughter just got back from Las Vegas and saw the Stones there.
Yeah, that's where they got that's where they just started the Hackney Diamonds tour.
Yeah, and she said they were great. They put on a great show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it again. So.
Yeah, I want to too.
Well, I think there's still there may be some tickets. It's at Mercedes-Benz in Atlanta.
Tickets still available?
I don't know. If they are, they I don't know. We got ours like pretty quick. So there may be. I'm sure you know, most of the ticket sites have people that bought them or groups that bought them and are reselling them. So.
And also, I saw the format of the basketball schedule.
Uh-huh.
And there are three teams home and home, two permanent, one rotating. And then 12 games, you know. Away.
Yeah, that's what I'd heard, that it was going to be two permanent, one rotating. I almost, like I mentioned a while ago, I would almost like it better, or I would like it better, if it were just one permanent, so you get other teams quicker into home and homes.
The only thing that gave me pause, Jerry, was that Auburn has the same three opponents, but I think a two permanent, one rotating system is better than keeping the three permanent, even if. Yeah, I think Bill's right about the flexibility.
Yeah, me too. Y'all have a great show.
All right, Jerry, appreciate the call. 334, and in case you weren't listening or hadn't seen the SEC schedule release, we didn't really go down Auburn's schedule. All we did was talk about the three permanent opponents, or the three opponents that Auburn's playing, home and away. And as I understood it, yes, it was Alabama and Georgia that are permanent opponents, and then Ole Miss is the third team that Auburn's playing home and away this year. They will play everyone else in the conference. And, yes, everybody in the conference gets to play everybody else.
Yep.
It's
just football.
Three of those teams will play in football, you have to wait a couple of years to be able to play everybody.
Right, every 4 years.
Right.
Home and away.
But this year you're getting to play everybody at least once. And it does appear that Auburn has, of course, in this league, it's going to be tough no matter what. But Auburn doesn't go too Knoxville. Have you got the schedule in front of you? I got to pull it up.
I can pull it up for you.
I mean, it seemed like...
I mean, it's hard to... I mean, next year's conference is just so hard to project after Auburn and Alabama.
You're right about that.
So much of the league is brand new, and so many teams are leaning really heavily on the portal to change their rosters up. But, yeah, what do you got?
Yeah, and I'm excited about the home slate. You've got Alabama, of course, Arkansas at home, Florida at home, Georgia at home.
That was the other. Florida, you get Florida one time, and it's at home.
Yep. You get Ole Miss, Mississippi State at home, Missouri at home, and then Oklahoma and Tennessee at home. Those would be great games.
Yep. The toughest road game is probably going to be Alabama. But, yeah. I mean, Texas is going to be really good next year, and you're on the road against them.
Road games, Alabama, Georgia, at Kentucky, at LSU, at Ole Miss, at South Carolina, at Texas, at Texas A&M, at Vanderbilt. That's going to be some tough games.
It is. I mean, you just don't know. I mean, maybe this is an opportunity for Auburn to snap that long losing streak at Rupp.
Yeah, maybe. It's been since John
Kaler.
Yeah, John Kaler, right? 1988. Yep. Yeah, I was in school then. Yep.
Yep.
That was a long time ago.
I was supposed to be doing color, but I was just screaming.
Auburn will be ahead of Kentucky in virtually every preseason poll. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean Auburn should be, you know, Auburn will go to Rupp Arena and win for the first time in generations. But, no, this is an Auburn team that, I mean, I'd say the only SEC team that you should even kind of expect to see ahead of Auburn in preseason polls is Alabama. And that's
especially, you know, if
Mark Sears
returns.
Yeah,
and Jaren Stevens.
And Sears returning is, I think sort of expected based on where folks are projecting Alabama right now. Lenardi has Bama as a one seed in his in his way too early. And I mean, the thing about doing way too early stuff right now is that, you know, when teams have huge holes in their roster, like, what do you project? You know, are you just banking on, you just trust John Calipari that much, or you just trust? Actually, John Calipari's done a pretty good job with the. I like more than a couple of the pieces that Arkansas is bringing in this year in year one. They might have. It's crazy to think they might have a top three front court in the conference next year with Idu and Thiero, right? I mean, those are two legit SEC starting.
Did you doubt that John Calipari could bring a player or two, especially with the NIL money that they've got there at Arkansas?
But I think people thought it might take a year or so and it might still. But no, he's going out and getting, you know, big pieces from other teams in the SEC, and we're saying Kentucky seems so interesting because it was so young. So like John Calipari relied for so many years on big time on the best freshman that he could sign and one and done players. And Mark Pope might have the oldest team in the SEC next year, certainly on the short list of the oldest teams in the SEC next year. All the freshmen, I mean, all the portal guys that Mark Pope is bringing in are very experienced. We were saying there's multiple fifth-year guys on Kentucky next year, so it'll be a different-looking team, defense-heavy approach as far as who Mark Pope has brought in so far. So, yeah, it's... I think Auburn, if they're ever going to do it, right, you would think that a year where you go into the season as a top 10 and Kentucky goes in year one of a new coach, it'd be an opportunity to pull it off.
You would sure think so. All right, let's get to our first break here of hour number two, 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through here on The Drive.
Attention. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com, Drew at the controls, and Uncle Ollie is on the phone. Hey, Uncle Ollie.
Hey, gentlemen. How are y'all this afternoon?
Doing all right. Good to hear from you.
Good. Hey, listen, I know it's a sports show, but Bill, you piqued my interest with this music talk.
Uh-huh.
So, you know who Chuck Lavelle is?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I did not realize there actually is a documentary you can find on Chuck Lavelle.
Oh, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And I did not know. Of course, you know, he was with the Allman Brothers forever. Mm-hmm. He joined the Allman Brothers after Dwayne died, and they added a piano, which was crazy at the time. But anyway, I did not know that he played for the Stones for years.
He was, well, when they were on tour, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he was part of it. Right.
I never knew that he had played for the Stones. And he's like an icon. If you watch this documentary, everybody wants Chuck Lavelle to play on their album.
So I'm seeing that after Ian Stewart died in 1985, the Rolling Stones needed someone to take over the keyboard parts when they toured in I guess Ian Stewart's health was going bad in the 80s, and so they needed someone to help on the keyboarding parts and then ultimately take over for them. And I believe that's where Chuck Lavelle started working with the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, and he was incredible. I mean, his stuff on the Allman Brothers is like legend. Even Dickie Betts, before he died, said that Chuck Lavelle made Jessica, just with the piano parts.
It's great when you have an opportunity to go and see folks live and realize what you're watching. Sometimes when you're hearing it, it's not as almost mind-blowing as it is to see them while they're doing it.
Yeah, and I don't know what your genre is, but I had the opportunity about 2 or 3 months ago to see U2 at the Sphere.
Oh wow!
Oh wow!
Oh wow! Yeah, that would have been
like unbelievable. And rumor is, and I've seen them when they were still intact before Glenn Frey died. Rumor is that the Eagles are going to do the Sphere between September and December.
Yeah, supposed to be wrapping things up the end of the year.
I believe Fish and the John Mayer Grateful Dead have Sphere have it at least through the summer. But I think it's open after that as they
look for musical accent. And I wasn't even a U2 fan, but when I saw them at the Sphere. Now I'm a U2 fan. They were unbelievable. So if you ever have a chance to go to Vegas, go to the Sphere.
Yeah, the Sphere wasn't there the last time I was there. So
yeah, it's on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I appreciate it. Hey, listen, I know it's a sports show, and we can talk about Auburn all day.
Hey man, sports and music Bill, and sports just they got to go together.
Bill seeing the Stones later this summer. We're talking about it. We're not worried about that.
Well, he's a lucky man. All right, guys, y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it, Uncle Ollie. 334-321-1390. Now I love so many different kinds of music, but let's face it. I mean, it's classic rock.
Jerry didn't give me an answer. My favorite Stone songs, I would say, I love Can't You Hear Me Knockin'. They play it almost in its entirety in Casino. Love that one. My Monkey Man, Miss You is I know it's the disco-y one. Some of the Jumpin' Jack Flash and
Sympathy.
Yeah, I mean, there's Satisfaction's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good song.
I mean, the thing is, I love songs where within the first three or four notes what it is, where it's an iconic.
How about Out of Time?
An iconic intro.
Out of Time is great, right? With the at the beginning, the little symphony. Action at the there's some great stuff there.
All right. We had another call.
The last time
It was Jerry called.
Oh, okay. So we can keep going on with this. Favorite you were talking with Chuck and you mentioned this with Don. You were talking you mentioned to Brian like favorite sporting events, but I could go I've been trying to fill in the gaps on favorite acts that I haven't seen. Although I have seen the Stones twice,
yeah,
there's some that I really could, like. You know, and I want to see them again, but it's probably going to be the last time.
This could be the last time.
Maybe the last time.
Which is,
I don't know.
And that should be what the tour's called, right?
This
could be the last time.
A lot of the tours, you can tell that a lot of them they're not planning on doing many more. Like the two we've got in October. Aerosmith's their tour is the Peace Out tour.
Okay, I've got a good one for y'all. All right, we talked about going back in time and to see an event. New Year's Eve, 1991, Cal Palace in San Francisco. I wrote about this in my Monday Musings, I think last year, but Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nirvana, and Pearl Jam all played together that night. And those bands, I think, were together maybe, I don't know, a half dozen times in the same place at a concert. Could you imagine being there for that at that time?
In 91, there's the I think you've written about this before, that there's the day that both the Nirvana and the Chili Peppers album comes out, like this, but and they're two of like the more famous albums of the of the decade, and they're released on the same day, Blood Sugar and Nevermind. That the Nirvana producer passed away last week, Steve Albini, on top of other stuff that he did. But an interesting Wikipedia page, Albini, Steve Albini, passed away and was a guy who'd done a lot of cool stuff in the music business.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, it is the it's summertime. That's when movies and music is the other things that are going on in addition to sports.
Yeah, I gotta see Fall Guy. I did not see Apes. You know, I'm behind on my.
We're thinking about that tomorrow.
What, Apes?
Uh huh.
Yeah, thinking about. The other movies in the trilogy have been good. You know, the other movies in this new Apes sort of the last few in the series.
There've been a lot, man. How many total? There've been a lot.
Well, I think are there four or five in the pre 2000.
Like, I think five.
That culminating with Battle 4, and then. There was the one in 2001 with Mark Wahlberg, and then this new series. I think this is the fourth one in the new series. So we're at 10 or
maybe
11.
10?
Yeah. 10 or 11, yeah. And eventually we're going to figure out what happened to the Statue of Liberty, right? Eventually we're going to find out.
Yeah.
How
it ended up there on the beach.
Yeah. That's for nobody.
You're right about that. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Our weekly this may be
Coop,
maybe the final Tiger.
This could be the last
Cooper
time,
McMurray, because the season is going to end this Saturday. So we'll talk with Cooper McMurray and Tiger Takes on the other side here on the Monday Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Monday afternoon, and it's time now for our weekly Tiger Take segment, brought to you by the Alsobrook Law Group. When you need legal assistance, call Zach. He's got your back, or find him on the web at alsolaw.com. It's Bill, Dan, Brian, Matthews from auburnsports.com here in the studio, and we're joined once again by Auburn first baseman Cooper McMurray. Coop, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. We were just talking about this. Don't know if this will be our last visit since sadly the season's coming to a close this coming week.
Yeah, I know. It's disappointing for sure. But I'm thankful that you guys have been doing this with me.
Oh, well, it's been our pleasure. I mean, I know it's been. It's been tough for you going, oh, crap, these guys are calling it wasn't a great weekend. Wasn't a great weekend, but it was really nice to win the series there and put up so many crooked numbers there in Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah, definitely. I think that, like you said, it wasn't perfect, but, it was definitely an improvement in all aspects of the game. I think that, this is, kind of reminded us of our lineup earlier in the season this weekend had. But, it was definitely good to get out there. And, that's a good Missouri team. So and we were on the road. So I'm just glad that we came out with the series win.
Yeah, you had one of the nine home runs. Now, that's did the ball carry well? Is it a place that you feel like is a hitter's park? Because – man, the balls were flying this weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that it's a hitter's park for sure. Especially when that Midwest wind gets kicking and it's going 15, 20 miles an hour. So the wind definitely helps the hitters. So feel bad for the pitchers, but it was good to get the offense going a little bit this weekend and bring that power back.
Cooper, we were asking you earlier in the season, I think even last week, we talked about, you know, some of the younger guys that you've gotten to see emerge this year as more veteran players. And one of them, it's a cool story because he's local too, is Cade Ballou. And he's really finishing the season strong.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's pretty impressive. Like I said last week, I think it's you know, getting thrown in there as a freshman, it's definitely nerve-wracking for him. But, you know, he's done a great job handling it and, you know, kind of just getting thrown in there and saying, hey, here you go, kid. Here's SEC pitching. But so it's been awesome to see him grow as a player these last couple weeks.
You know, we've talked mostly about hitting to this point. Starting pitching was really not the problem. I mean, as a matter of fact, Brian mentioning something a little while ago that I hadn't even realized, that Auburn starters picked up their first conference wins on Saturday and Sunday with Chase and Herbie going out and both really pitching well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and even Bauman gave us a quality start
right
on Friday.
Yep.
So yeah, no, I was very proud of those three. You know, how they controlled the strike zone and, you know, kind of let the hitters get themselves out, which is very important to do on the mound. And you know, they didn't walk a lot of guys, so it was good to see them, you know, pitch to their abilities. And you know, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I believe three combined walks in 14 innings for the three starters. So yeah, that is so important. And you're down there at first base, and it's got to be frustrating at times when your pitcher can't get the ball over the plate. I mean, it's really difficult to stay as mentally in the game and as ready on the balls of your feet, things like that, when you're just watching, you know, pitches outside the strike zone and you're having to greet different guys that are trotting down to first base.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, when they're in the zone and they're getting ground balls early in the counts and, you know, shoving strike one in the zone and not giving the hitter a chance to, you know, ambush a fastball or something, it's pretty fun to watch and pretty fun to play defense behind because it's easy. You know, you're on good pace of play, good everything. And so that, yeah, it just helps the whole team out when the starter gets on the mound with some rhythm and comfort.
Now, this past weekend, I mean, it was a situation where, you know, Auburn needed everything to go well. They had to try to win every game and have some help on the other side. And then Friday night, I mean, a tough loss on Friday night, which you know, mathematically eliminated you guys from the SEC tournament. But I thought, what a tribute to the character of this team to come back, run rule Missouri on Saturday, and then get the series win on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, I think that just shows how mentally tough we all are. I mean, yeah, definitely, you know, getting eliminated from the SEC tournament is tough. Obviously, no one wanted for that to happen to us. But, yeah, no, I was just proud of them, how they came out Saturday and Sunday, and, you know, didn't care and, you know, kind of just went and played baseball. So it was pretty cool to see.
And now you've got four more games. Hopefully, the weather will allow tomorrow's matchup. Hopefully, I mean, I know there's a lot of rain in the area, but headed up to Hoover to take on Samford tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, it's a good Samford team, and you know, we all like going to play at the Met, so it's a very cool stadium and it's a very good atmosphere for us. So yeah, it's exciting, and we're all looking forward to it.
And then, of course, if the season's got to end, might as well end playing your arch rival Alabama at home at Plainsman Park.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a fun series. I think, you know, anytime Auburn and Alabama play in any sport, it's a great rivalry. So, yeah, you know, I think all the guys are very excited for this weekend and, you know, just kind of showing Alabama what we're all about and, you know, trying to get that series win.
Has it sunk in that, I mean, this is the – this is going to be the last series of the season and, you know, maybe the last time that you're taking the field here at Plainsman Park?
Yeah, I don't think it's sunken in yet, but I think it definitely will. This is kind of like coming up this week. So, yeah, we're going to see what happens and, you know, hopefully that it might be, but, you know, we're all excited for this weekend.
Yeah, and that's something we were talking about amongst ourselves here going, well, do we – Do we ask Coop about this? Because it might be, but it might not be. I mean, so are you still contemplating the possibilities of a return?
Yes, definitely. I think that, right now I'm just focused on finishing the season strong for my team and then, kind of putting it all in God's hands and letting him decide. But, yeah, definitely been thinking about both. So, yes, sir.
Can I ask, and again, you can reveal as much or as little as you want, and it's fine. What sort of factors go into the decision to decide whether or not you're gonna exhaust your eligibility and play one more year of college baseball? Like, what sort of things do you think you'll be thinking about? What kind of things do you think you'll be considering strongly?
Yeah, there's a lot. I think the two main ones would be, I definitely love Auburn and love everything about Auburn, in this program, and I want to be a part of it for my whole life. So that's definitely one of them. And then, the other one that I think, is just dreaming up as a kid, wanting to play pro baseball. So yeah, there's definitely a lot that goes into that process. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, once a part of Auburn baseball, you always will be a part of Auburn baseball. And,
yes, sir.
And I can tell you that whatever your decision, Auburn baseball and its fans are gonna support Cooper McMurray. I mean, you're a class act. You're fun to watch, and I mean, there's no doubt we'd love to have you back, but our best wishes will be with you regardless. But in the meantime, yeah, you've got some business to take care of with the in-state schools this week.
Yes, sir, definitely, and I greatly appreciate everything.
Oh, we do too. Hopefully, I mean, we may not be done talking with Cooper. I mean, we'll have to.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, we'll check on another possible visit with Coop. And and the other thing is, when you do make up your mind, you're welcome to come on here and let everybody know about it.
Yeah, we'd love. Yeah, we'll talk with we'll have our people call your people, and we'll see if we'd love to. Whenever you want to make something official, we'd love to be the we'd love to provide you a stage to do that, Coop.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you very much. That sounds great.
Oh, absolutely. Well, here you are. You're on a 2-game winning streak. I mean, why not go ahead and finish the season on a six game
streak? There you go.
Exactly. That's the plan.
Yeah, I hear you, Coop. Again, it's been our pleasure. We really enjoy the opportunity to talk to you every week. Before we let you go, once again, let everybody know how they can follow you on social media.
Yeah, my Twitter is at CoopMC9, and my Instagram is CMcMurray_.
All right, great stuff. Best of luck this week, and looking for great crowds this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Y'all have a good day.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. Hey, thanks forever and all season, Coop. Great stuff.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Cooper McMurray joining us with Tiger Takes each Monday, and that's presented by the Alsobrook Law Group on the web at alsolaw.com. We'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Monday Drive.
What's it mean to be a Four Seasons Federal Credit Union member? It means
ESPN 1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final segment of the Monday edition. Our thanks to Cooper McMurray. Man, we have been really fortunate with the athletes that we've had on Tiger Takes.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, between John Samuel Schenker and Dylan Cardwell and Coop, and we had Zepp Jasper, who was awesome, and Eugene Asante this past year, Keontae Scott for a couple of games, too. We've really had some awesome student athletes representing Auburn and
great
talking
people.
To us.
Yeah. I mean, they've been a blast. Great interviews. I mean, they're very well spoken, all of them. We've really enjoyed it. 334-321-1390.
Sonny DeShare, I don't think I named in that list, right. But Sonny was awesome. Maybe the best of all of them. So we've been very lucky.
Let's get back to the drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar and Yellowhammer. Is next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. Well, y'all were talking about music, so that triggered a thought. Interesting thing I came upon.
Butch Trux was the drummer for the Allman Brothers, and
right.
they were playing in Atlanta. And a couple of linemen from the Falcons showed up, and Butch went up to him and said, "You know, we have a lot in common." And he said they looked at my skinny little butt and wondered, what could that be? And he said, "We do all the work, and everybody else gets all the credit."
Yeah, I tell you what, though, it doesn't work without a good drummer. Oh, man.
Oh, no. Without a good drummer, a good bass player, you're just
That's right.
Teenage garage band.
You are a wreck. You are off the rails or off the road in the ditch. There's no doubt about that.
It's like with a good offensive line. If you hadn't got one of those, you're in the ditch.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Yellowhammer.
It's my favorite position. Well, thanks anyway.
All right. Bye. Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer. 334-321-1390. Yeah, we have a few minutes to go here on the show here on this Monday. Brian, Dan asked you, or you mentioned Uncle Keith's a while ago.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit. All right, he sponsors your Monday Musings, which are once again out there today.
Yeah, I mostly wrote about baseball and softball today, just talking about even though they have had disappointing seasons, much so for baseball than softball. But
right,
you know, Mickey Dean, of course, retired.
Oh, Auburn got off to a rough start, and then yeah. Mickey announced he was stepping down, and they picked yep. it up.
I think both teams have continued to fight and compete.
Mm-hmm.
Have not quit. Auburn baseball had plenty of chances to quit. They could have quit, a couple weeks ago a week ago. Where was they? They had the lead. They gave it up and then came back and won it. It was at Ole Miss, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or no, it was
no.
home.
Here.
Yeah,
it was here.
Yeah, and they came back and won that this weekend.
And then definitely could have after losing Friday.
Right, right.
After losing Friday, they were eliminated.
5-run lead blown, eliminated from postseason play, and they come back and win the next two. So credit to them. Credit to the softball team for also fighting back after I think it was a 2-7 start in SEC
mm-hmm.
play.
That's right.
To earn a number 2 seed in the Florida State Regional and a chance maybe to advance out of that if they can play well. So they deserve a lot of credit for that. And then Soundgarden was my musical
Ooh. Oh, okay.
thing this week.
I always loved
Black Hole Sun.
Chris Cornell's
yeah.
voice.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he had just one of the coolest. Like in it, and that was the people complained about a lot of grunge rockers sort of had that Eddie Vedder grumbly mm-hmm. Rumble voice and Chris Cornell, I mean he could scream, he could belt with any rock front man mm-hmm. that's ever screamed. Like Chris Cornell had one of those, and Audio Slave, a cool band, he was also the lead singer of them after Soundgarden
right.
broke up with Rage Against the Machine, put out a solo album, did an acoustic tour. And passed away just a couple of years ago. But yeah, Chris Cornell was one of my favorites.
And Black Hole Sun was released 30 years ago today.
Wow.
Hmm. Golly, time does fly.
Yes.
All right. While we're talking Monday Musings and everything, just talk about the other things folks will find there when they go to auburnsports.com. What's coming up, what's there, and how they can keep up with everything.
Keeping up with golf, of course, women and men competing for national championships. I think there could be some movement in the portal or at least some idea of, football, basketball this week. And then, of course, we'll cover baseball and softball this weekend and this week with Tuesday night's game if they do play it at the Hoover Met. And then in another, is it about a week and a half or so, the official visits for
high
school football
players. You're going to have – maybe here this week, the rest, and there were only 4 signees
right.
that weren't here if they've graduated. Now, some of them may not have graduated high school yet, and it may be the second summer term before they're here. I mean, it's crazy because usually, up until the last few years, we're looking at, how many new players are going to be on campus?
All of them almost.
Yeah. I mean, now it's like, your transfers are going to be the ones that'll be here. And be able to go through the first summer session and start
just
workouts.
4 of the signees from that class.
That is
not
crazy.
Yet. And as far as I know, all are expected in by the end of this month. We'll see exactly how that turns out. So there is going to be a lot going on, even though we're in a bit of a lull football-wise right now.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, they can follow you as well.
Yes. I'm on Twitter/X and Threads at BMATAU.
All right, a couple of minutes to go here in the show, and we've talked a little bit about some of the things that are coming, and there's no question they are coming as far as changes in college athletics. One of the things I thought was interesting, but it makes perfect sense, is that with some of the things that are being discussed right now, there may be some changes to roster sizes. I mean, we've seen the NCAA talk about eliminating the roster limits or the scholarship limits
yeah.
for sports, especially like baseball, the ones that don't have all full scholarships.
Right.
But
which has really hurt Auburn.
Oh, there's no question about that.
In competing. And one of the ideas or one of the things being floated with the deal they're trying to negotiate with the players and their reps is eliminating the scholarship restrictions for a lot of sports, including like baseball, and just saying you can have 30 whatever
the roster size that's right. determined could right. be filled with scholarships.
Yep, it's up to the individual school.
And that would, but something that
our,
would do,
our conference
when you look at the major sports, that is actually going to end up helping some of the smaller schools. If you have a roster size, for example, of 85. Then you've got 85 scholarships. I mean, everybody that's on the roster can get yeah. money. It would really sort of eliminate walk-ons.
Right, right. And yeah, that would be good. I'm fine with the football team not having that
120,
many. Right.
105, whatever.
I mean, I think football gets by with 50.
A special designation.
NFL's 53.
For, yeah. Plus, I think it's around a dozen on the practice squad or whatever
right.
it is.
The
maybe
taxi
a little bit more.
Squad
yeah.
or the practice so, squad.
A special
right.
designation or something for walk-ons right. or some sort of like not on the team, but some sort of other thing like you know the practice. You know whatever. But like, yeah, I think that's probably going to be a casualty of employment status.
But it would be good if you make the roster, you've got to you know.
Yep.
You're gonna be making something as well.
You got the job.
That's right. Hey, Brian, great stuff as always. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, enjoyed it as always too.
Got anything special planned for this week?
I cannot think of anything.
Well, that's good. It's summertime.
Yeah, that's right.
Hopefully, just relax. All right, Dan and I should be back tomorrow. Hopefully, Drew is as well. Drew is like our drummer or bass player.
Yeah, the rhythm section.
Oh yeah,
it keeps us on track.
He kind of has that look too, doesn't he?
He does.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, we're out of time here on the Monday Drive. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.